Welcome to Sunday Sermons and other recordings from the Unitarian Universalist Church of Davis, California. Please visit our website at www.uudavis.org for further information.
Good morning. It's so good to be together. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Davis. I'm the Reverend Morgan McLean, the Assistant Minister for Congregational Life.
And my name is Alex Hayter Winnett. I am this year's Congregational Ministerial Intern, Ministerial Intern, and Campus Minister.
As Unitarian Universalists, we believe all people are inherently worthy and dignified. You are welcome here, no matter how you structure your sentences, or how you identify, or who you love, no matter the color of your skin, or the money in your pocket, or where you slept last night, no matter your understanding of God or life's big questions, you are welcome into this community.
If this is your first time here, we hope you will stop by our welcome table in the social hall so we can get to know you a little better. Here you will find a community of caring and sharing. In your printed bulletin, which is that pink sheet, you will find more information about the programs of this church. There are so many ways to get involved, and we hope you will join us in creating this community together.
And speaking of that pink sheet, if you are with someone, sitting next to someone you live with and have an extra pink sheet, would you raise your hand so you can share it with someone who doesn't have one? Thank you. Ralph's going to come around and collect a few. And then those people who don't have a pink sheet, now it's your turn to raise your hand and Ralph will come deliver one. I think over on the other side, we've got some coming. Thanks. This morning, as every morning, you're invited to light a chalice at the back of the sanctuary and write in our milestone book. If you wish, we'll add your joy or sorrow to this morning's pastoral prayer or to the caring corner in the bulletin. To acknowledge all that is being held in this room, we light one pillar candle for the sorrows of the world, for the moments that weigh heavy on our hearts. We light a second pillar candle for the joys of the world, for moments of hope and celebration. And today there is much to celebrate. Come, let us worship together.
Nobody sings the way you do, nobody sings like me. I sing of praise, I sing of joy, I sing in harmony. I know there's something deep inside that wants to be set free. Gonna lift my voice today. Lift up your voice higher, higher every day, higher. Yeah, I'm singing, you're singing, we're singing. Sing unto the Lord. Sing out proud. Sing out strong. Lift your voice loud and long. Sing out proud. Sing out strong. Lift your voice. sings the way you do. Nobody sings like me. I sing of praise, I sing of joy, I sing in harmony. I know there's something deep inside that wants to be set free. Gonna lift my voice today. I'm singing, you're singing, we're singing. Oh, now I'm singing. I'm singing, you're singing, we're singing. I'm singing, you're singing, we're singing. Oh, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Higher.
This from Soul Matters. We gather this morning to hear the call of trust, even though promises have been broken, even though the betrayals still sting, even though we're unsure about believing in ourselves. Like this flame, trust is something that needs rekindled again and again. May this light lead us back to believing again.
There are lots of voices in music. There's the voice of the piano, there's the voice of the drums, and of course the many voices of the Sparks Choir. And the bells have a voice. You have to hold it in the right position to make sure your juice or other beverage doesn't fall out. That would be wrong. And then you have to know how to stop the bell from ringing. And for a bell, you'd damp it against your shoulder. Another instrument we use is a chime, and this is for the more soulful, meditative pieces. And you dampen by turning it, because you don't want to break the little thongs up there. we'll be using the chimes in the middle part of Do Lord. It's a quieter, more reflective moment. But most of the rest of the piece is exciting, and one of the things you can do with bells is shake them. Another thing you can do is echo, and the way you do that is first you ring the note, and then you bounce it up and down upon the table. Another thing that can make things exciting, especially when more than one person does it, when we're all doing it in a row, which will come later on in the piece, is take a mallet. Everybody who has a mallet, pick it up. And the bigger mallets are for the bigger bells, and the littler mallets are for the smaller ones. So, Jerry? Okay, and one last thing that we'll do at the end of the piece is what is called a martellato. That's where, well, in this particular piece, we ring it first and then smash it to the table. And without breaking the bell, of course. So everybody who has a C, no, sorry, never mind that. G, B, or D? Thank you.
The reading this morning comes from the words of Oliver Sacks, who is an eminent neurologist and author of Awakenings and The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat. On my morning bike ride to Battery Park, I heard music as I approached the tip of Manhattan, and then saw and joined a silent crowd who sat gazing out to sea and listening to a young man playing Bach's Chaconne in D on his violin. When the music ended and the crowd quietly dispersed, it was clear that the music had brought them some profound consolation in a way that no words could ever have done. Music, uniquely among the arts, is both completely abstract and profoundly emotional. It has no power to represent anything particular or external, but it has a unique power to express inner states or feelings. Music can pierce the heart directly. It needs no mediation. One does not have to know anything about Dido and Aeneas to be moved by her lament for him. Anyone who has ever lost someone knows what Dido is expressing. And there is, finally, a deep and mysterious paradox here, for while such music makes one experience pain and grief more intensely, it brings solace and consolation at the same time.
There's an emotional response. And music is unique in how it connects us to something larger than ourselves. One does not need to understand a particular story to connect to the emotions expressed in either the music or the lyrics. And if we want to understand grief or loneliness or hopefulness or the power of community, music can always take us there with one voice or many.
Sound of all of us. This is
Scientific research has shown us that when we listen and participate in music, we use many parts of our brains simultaneously. Music takes the whole focus of our mind. It is powerful. For listeners, it allows us to be swept away into a music with ebbs and flows and climaxes and releases. There are no phones, no to-do lists, and no errands remaining to be done, just the sounds. For performers, sometimes we experience what is called flow, when everything else falls away and there's just the one precise moment that you're in. This is what many find to be a spiritual experience. I certainly do. There are probably many ways to experience flow, and for me, I find that working on music, both in rehearsal and performance, to be totally all-encompassing. It's challenging, it's moving, it's engrossing. My aunt was a charismatic choral conductor, and everyone who worked with her loved her. On the podium, she was unflappable. She was demanding, very, and precise and articulate, very funny, and spunky. She probably wouldn't appreciate that particular term. But it was also true that that no one that went to her rehearsals would have known that her life was often in disarray. She struggled with addiction, with romantic relationships, and was on the edge financially. There was a struggle with identity and self-worth. And yet, on the podium, she was on. And she was undeniably in control. Would she say that music saved her life? Absolutely. It sounds dramatic, but was very real for her. The focus that required of her to create music, to be carried away in it, it gave her something to look forward to and something to sustain her. She felt so strongly about her commitment to music and the hold that it had on her that she insisted no one could ever have a family or any other commitment that would compete with this devotion to the musical art. She didn't live long enough to see me do both. And today, my response to her would be, music does sustain me, whether or not I have children. I chose to have children, and I choose to be a musician. When we create music, we're invited to be more than we were when we walked in the door. My aunt was given this life-saving opportunity to rise above the struggles of her daily life. And I am given this powerful gift of working with music, and it brings me strength and joy every time I do it. There is proof to both me and the people in the room that I'm working with that collaboration can create results far beyond what each one of us could do on our own. The sound of one voice and then another and another joined is strength, and it's joy.
We began attending UUCD in September 2013.
While we attend church most weeks, many here will not recognize us as we depart with the youth shortly after the service begins.
I go to the library to help lead the middle schoolers in mugs.
And I go to the Bridge House to help teach our 4th through 6th graders in Chalice Council.
Shortly after joining mugs, my co-leader decided to start bringing homemade baked goods. This was a mistake. If you feed them once, they will think they get fed every time. Then they develop opinions on the quality of snacks available.
A couple of weeks ago, Reverend Beth joined us for a few minutes in Chalice Council, and she was privileged to sit in on the very opinionated discussion of what foods the council deems acceptable. We made the mistake once of bringing fig cookies to accompany a lesson, and were informed in no uncertain terms that the snacks from then on had to come from a pre-approved list. They are demanding, but the snacks we bring are part of what defines Chalice Council for them, so we oblige.
Sharing food seems to be an integral part of building a community. Mugs are no exception. Though a small community, they share a long history of challenging each other with their favorite snacks. As a leader of youth, we're here to both challenge the youth and be challenged by them.
Did you know some of our youth only recently encountered the gift of the gods that is strawberry steeped in sugar?
Back in Chalice Council, pita chips are on the approved list, and hummus is hotly debated. Choose your side. These were the snacks that we brought for a lesson on some of the basics of Islam. Between bites and sips and reaching for the bag of chips, the council listens to stories, draw and color their own interpretations of historical religious events, and ask really tough questions.
Mugs have learned to both gracefully eat and hold meaningful conversations. While the leaders often provide the topic, mugs steer the direction we go. Topics range from the correct way to eat an Oreo to what happens in the afterlife. I am personally challenged by the depth and complexity of the questions we tackle at times. Much of the subject matter forces us to consider our own beliefs, understandings, biases, and palates.
I have learned more as a teacher than I ever did on my own. I explore topics I never would have considered, and I see points of view that I wouldn't have imagined without it being voiced first by an adolescent. And I'm forced to find new and interesting foods that I think will enhance the lesson.
A community is given the life we breathe into it. We believe giving and receiving to be tightly coupled. By giving our time and snacks, we receive a greater connection with our community, a place to belong in the community, and delicious treats.
Please consider giving some of your time to our children and youth programs, or sharing a favorite treat, or especially donating generously for the pledge drive. The funds raised help both with the programs we work with, as well as the staff that helps coordinate and run the programs. You can see Sharon at the table in the social hall to fill out your pledge card.
We extinguish our pillar candles, knowing that the joys have been brightened by being shared here, and knowing that the sorrows have been lightened by being held in community. And we extinguish the flame of our chalice, this symbol that calls us together, knowing that its light burns in each of us until we come together again.
Now. All right, now. Now Bill Lauer is going to give me some volume there. So here we have this beautiful quilt that was created by the quilters in our congregation and really designed by Mary Ann Robinson, and so guided by her work. And so at this time, we're moving into another part of our afternoon. The choir has gotten to eat again and again, and we'll get to eat again at the reception, of course. So I'm going to ask that Morgan and Daniel kind of shift in their seats and face each other a little bit. We're not going to ask them to get up in front of you. That's just, you know, not necessary. And Alex is going to place this beautiful quilt on their laps. And so you just... Now, and I want you all to remember how to do beloved with American Sign Language. So the left hand is on your heart, and then the right hand covers it. So you go, beloved, beloved, beloved. And you can do that anytime you feel like it when we are speaking to them. But there'll be a time at the end when you can do it repeatedly, and we will send it in their direction.
Friends, this congregation was conceived by people who had young children and loved them. They wanted a faith for their families that centered questions, learning, joy, and connection. Today, we celebrate every family who finds a spiritual home here. Morgan, you are one of the ministers of this congregation, and Daniel, with Morgan, it is right that we celebrate the love and joy you experience as we all wait for this new baby. As we all wait for this new baby to arrive and disrupt your life. We wait with you, and as we wait, there are changes among us, just as there are changes for you. And there have been changes for many months.
Even before this child is born, our eyes shine a little brighter because we know more joy. We are just a little more thoughtful when we see you, especially in more recent years when we see you, because we're reminded that there is a new beloved who will be here among us soon. Let there be more beauty in this world, and may the colors and the design remind you that beauty is close at hand. Many days and nights, this quilt may lay softly against you and your newborn baby. May its softness comfort you and your child, both of you and your child. When there are moments of joy and celebration or sleeplessness, this quilt is a physical symbol of love. It is a symbol of returning beauty for beauty. And so everyone, beloved, a blessing. Beloved, this is a blessing. Beloved, and send all of that to this couple and a new beloved who will be among us soon.